Hi folks, welcome back to the official catch-up. It's Derek here, and I was lucky enough to have a chat with the chairman of Stenhouse Muir, Ian McMenemy, today. So this is the unedited, unfiltered version of what he said. We went almost an hour talking about the SPFL, about non-league getting kind of further ingratiated into the pyramid, and everything in between. So I hope you enjoy. I have used quite a few of the questions you guys gave me on Twitter, so thank you very much for those again. And without further ado, here it comes. So, joined now by Ian McMenemy, chairman of Stenhouse Muir. Thanks again, firstly, for giving us some of your time here for the catch-up.
Not at all, thank you for having me on.
So just to get started, if I could ask you in your own words to clarify the proposal that League Two teams have banded together and put forward for SPFL reconstruction, just to make sure that we've got absolute clarity on that side of things.
Of course, yep. What we decided to do as League Two clubs was to see if we could find any consensus amongst clubs, because as you can imagine, just as it is, I'm sure, anywhere in football, there are 10 people in a room and there's probably 10 different ideas on just about any subject you could come across in terms of football. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different ideas, lots of different people had red lines, lots of people had things that they wanted to see happen. And so we tried to sort of share some ideas to see where that would go, because we were a bit disappointed, to be honest, when the reconstruction group was formed and they put 15 people on it straight away, which we thought, well, that's a bit unwieldy in the best of times. But to try and do that through any kind of video conferencing, we just thought it was going to be a nigh on impossible to get any kind of proper dialogue and debate going. So we thought, well, can we help guys that are on there by trying to come up with, even if we got to one or two different ideas, three ideas, four ideas, or just even a list of things that we didn't want or did want, could we just maybe kind of hone our input down a little bit to kind of open it up then to others to put their side across? So we did that over a couple of different video conference calls ourselves. There was lots of different opinions in there, as you'd imagine. People wanting different setups and formats, and some formats were tied to financial arrangements. And we're trying to get some feedback as well from league reps on, you know, what might be up for discussion and what might not be up for discussion. And in the end, we decided to kind of all go behind what seemed to kind of be a kind of emerging position, which was that we wanted to go into the meeting, the next meeting that they had, in a position that, you know, made them, you know, take note of us for a bit of a change. And I know that you know, people in the Lower League, Highland League, probably look at the SPFL and you look at it as a single body, if you like, but and, you know, we in the lower league clubs in the SPFL, we look up at the problems we get from, you know, the Premiership clubs in particular. Mm-hmm. And so I was really disappointed at the way that some of the comments were coming out about reconstruction being temporary, and just wanted to sort out the issue at the top and it was all going to be done around the Premiership. And didn't seem to be any dialogue or discussion or mention of the clubs further down the line. So we wanted to come up with a position that we'd go in there and say, look, you need to listen to us here, or you're not going to get anything through. So when we looked at different ideas, trying to find something that I suppose covered as many bases as possible, but definitely not all of them, there's always going to be winners and losers, we came to a conclusion that the 3-4-teens would be the initial position that we would take going into those early meetings.
And when you say the initial position, am I right in understanding that the agreement is between all League Two clubs that you would vote against anything else?
At the moment, we're going to go in there and say this is the agreed position from the League Two clubs. We're not at the moment saying that that's it, banging the table, walking out the room, saying phone us if you want it, and don't bother if you don't, and anything like that. That's our opening position, is what we've come to get into discussion with them. I very much doubt that's going to be what will be there at the end. I very much doubt that it's going to happen over the case of one more meeting or anything like that. There's going to be a lot of other interests coming from other clubs, a lot of different ideas, suggestions, tweaks here and there, perhaps even. But I think there's a long way to go before we're anywhere near a position that everybody can actually say that's their final position and that's the one we're all going to get behind, no questions asked.
Perfect. So just to make sure that I've got this across properly, there is absolutely wiggle room in terms of changes and potential, as you say, little tweaks and so on coming down the line as well.
Yeah, well, what wouldn't be a very good negotiating position was if I said that we've agreed this, but we're willing to go off and change something completely different. That wouldn't be a very good position to start with. But absolutely, our mindset is that this is our position to go into these early discussions with the other parties around the table to see where the meetings and the discussions go. And it's absolutely not a case of you take it or you leave it.
Gotcha. And in this, I guess we could call it a National League Tier 3 for the third 14, how would you see the relegation side of things with regards the Highland and Lowland League? Like, for example, would you see an automatic relegation place there, or would it remain as a playoff spot, do you think?
We didn't really get into the detail of how even a 14 would work in terms of would it be a split, would it be three games, and what absolutely would happen at the bottom end. I think it probably would probably remain the same, would be my gut feeling. I don't like speaking for other clubs when I've not been authorised to, but just I think from the general direction of travel, I think that would probably still be, I think the majority feel that it would still come through a some sort of playoff route.
Gotcha. So that kind of leads us on to quite a lot of the questions that listeners were asking me to put to you were on that front. Given that in the Scotsman you said that a lot of the clubs on the reconstruction side of things in the SPFL talks were basically doing nothing more than redrawing the boundaries for self-gain. Do you accept that now people, say in the Highland and Lowland and potentially levels below, would possibly try and direct that towards yourself if you're cutting off the chance of either Brora or Kelty coming up?
Yeah, it's a fair point. I think that anybody that says there's not an element of self-interest in anybody's position in this is telling fibs. Everybody, is looking at their own club, and I've got absolute respect for anybody that does do that, because that's your role and your job. You take that role on. So people are looking after their own clubs, but I don't think that's the whole driving factor. What frustrated me more was, I think if we're all probably being honest about this, reconstruction has been talked about in the SPFL for years. It's been talked about even before the SPFL came together. And it's never gone anywhere. The clubs in the Premiership are just not keen on even looking at it. Suddenly, it's become an option on the table. And as I say, if we're all being honest about it, it's because they want to do something to help Hearts and they want to do something to help Partick Thistle.
Yep.
If it was Hamilton at the bottom of the table and Alloa that was going to be relegated from the Championship, nobody in the Premiership would be batting an eye. And so we are completely against, and I said in my column in the Scotsman, I'm completely against going through a sham reconstruction just to deal with one aspect, which is the inequalities that have happened because of the virus and the Premiership end to the league. That should be part of it, but there has to be more to it. We have to look at some of the issues. I would much prefer that we looked at proper, meaningful, maybe even quite radical reconstruction across all Scottish football. I would rather look at that, but that's got absolutely cat and hell's chance of getting anywhere because of the SPFL's position, which is always to resist change whenever possible. So it's coming down to probably a couple of very, very, I suppose, kind of vanilla options at the end of the day.
Do you think there is any chance of any reconstruction getting through at this point?
At this point, I'm very doubtful. I'm looking at the clubs in the Premiership, and I'm thinking there is possibly a desire to get something done and done quickly, because there's a bit of sympathy towards Hearts' position, and it's only a bit of sympathy towards their position. But if they're talking about, you know, some of them are, when I heard the Aberdeen chairman say he wanted something that was just for one season only, mm-hmm. why would any other team that's at the bottom of the Premiership then say, okay, let's do something that saves Hearts this season, and then they, you know, hit the reset button and go back up to whatever, fourth, fifth, sixth in the league. And then that club that voted to keep them in is one of the couple or two or three that potentially get relegated from a bigger league next season. Why would they vote for that? Why would they want to have that go through? There are some who want something done permanently. There are others who want something done on a temporary basis. There are those that just absolutely want to fight to keep their big games four times a season. The two away to Rangers, two away to Celtic when they get the big gates. And that's part of their financial model, and that's all they're interested in. So with all that politics that goes on in that division, I'll be surprised if they can come together and get behind a single resolution.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to Scottish football's buzzword just now seems to be, or buzz phrase, I guess, would be sporting integrity. And everyone seems to have their own opinion on what that actually means. To a point, but you that phrase was used in one of your columns in the Scotsman mm-hmm. that I read, and you were talking about this kind of thing where's the integrity in the SPFL plans when essentially you're trying to save, as you've mentioned, their Hearts and Partick Thistle from the drop. One of the questions I had put to me to bring to yourself was to do with this plan of the 3-14s, and basically asking you along the lines of, because that would adversely affect teams at the bottom of League One potentially, as well as preventing Kelty and Brora the chance to get promoted, would you accept that, again, that plan has its issues in pretty much every plan at this point? Reconstruction-wise, will have its pros and cons?
Every plan has its issues, absolutely. And then I'm behind the 3-14s because we've agreed that as clubs, so it's the right thing. If you've agreed to it, you stick with it. But I think it's fair for me to say, because I did commit this to writing in the Scotsman as well, it's fair for me to say that I initially was going for a 14 and 3-10s was my first yeah. option. And the reason being is I thought that was probably bringing in more of an element of fairness right across football. But then when you do talk to others about it and you hear their positions, you hear what they say is the pros and the cons, you do start to realise that there is winners and losers in every scenario. And if you take the 14 and the 3-10s option, first of all, then yep, it solves the problem that the Premier League wants to solve. And then the two teams go up. But at the moment, what's happened is that the teams that finished second, third, and fourth, they've earned the right to go into a playoff, and that's all they've got so far. So the teams that finished first, who've won the championship in the SPFL, you know, Cove, for example, they've absolutely, you know, they've won their automatic promotion, if you like. That's what the rules state. But the ones that have come second, third, and fourth, they're going into a playoff position. So if you move two up, then you know Edinburgh City goes up. But what about Elgin and Cowdenbeath? Because they'd earned the right to be playing against, you know, Edinburgh City and the team from length above in a playoff competition. And we've taken that away from them. So there's an element of unfairness in just picking the second place team and putting them up when all that second, third and fourth had earned was that playoff position. Mm-hmm. So I understand then that there's issues for that one as well. Take the 3-14s. Again, it's a similar scenario. Yeah, you're perhaps putting more of those clubs up that maybe have come into the playoff spots, but not everybody. And even if you take League Two, you know, Queen's Park came one point behind the playoff spots with all those games to play. So elements of unfairness there. And there is, of course, the unfairness for the winners of the Lowland League and the Highland League in that scenario. But whether it's foolhardy or not, I still cling to the hope that there is something there that can be done, that there is a solution that we just haven't seen yet, or that the timeframes allow us to do something in an enlarged playoff when we get back going again, or something that can be done just to try and even deal with any of the other kind of hangovers from from what we can't fix and whatever model comes up with this time.
You've kind of stolen my thunder, because the next thing I was going to ask you was about that concept there, that there has been an idea floated of starting again with playoffs, essentially. So as soon as football comes back, get some, say, not necessarily the playoffs that would have happened at the end of the season, but some kind of chance for these clubs to earn their spots in the league above.
Yep.
Is that something that you think teams would get behind?
I don't know who would, to be honest. I don't know if they would or not. I mean, a lot's so unknown, and that's the problem with trying to plan anything right now, is there's so many unknowns. Nobody knows what state we're going to be in whenever we get back going again.
Yeah.
In terms of football. I know, I speak for my own club, you know, we've got players on furlough. We've got the majority of the staff on furlough, apart from one club member of staff and two of our community full-time coaches who are out doing our community help initiative stuff. But everybody else is on furlough, including all the players, and even taking their wages out of it now. We're still spending £8,000 a month just having the club in mothball. So there's still a lot of costs going out, and we don't know when it's going to start back up again. And when we do start back up again, I'm pretty sure we're not going to have fans sitting next to each other in stands. I mean, you've got a wee facility like we've got at Oakle View. If we had any sort of social distancing in our stand, where you had to maybe have, you know, one person every three seats or something like that, you know, we would hugely cut our numbers down, what we could actually get through. And could we do hospitality at the same level, because the rooms are quite small for hospitality as well. Mm-hmm. So what sort of money are we going to get coming back in when it all starts? So with all these unknowns, I really don't know if we can even get to the point of trying to predict how we could start back up, which clubs will still be in business, and what support there would be for anything like a playoff. But I see, I just hope that I hope there's some model, even if it's not the playoffs model, is there some other way we could financially enlarge the leagues somehow, that we could, you know, do more of an invitational or something. I don't know, but if I think we should be open to as many different ideas as we possibly can, until we've exhausted every idea, to try and make it as fair as we possibly can for everybody. Then we shouldn't give up on it.
Yeah, yeah. And just because we've mentioned the 14-10-10-10 scenario, and you'd said that one of the things that you'd particularly noticed was the fact that it was a temporary idea. Anne Budge said at the end of last week, it was, that basically the two proposals that look like they're going to go forward would be your 3 of 14 idea, and also that 14-10-10-10, but she was implying it would be more of a permanent arrangement. Would there be a possibility of League Two clubs folding behind that idea if it is permanent?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think Anne's position perhaps changed a little, because she went on that show, The Sports Sound, on the Saturday and talked about the temporary element that she wanted to see. Yep. As did Dave Cormack from Aberdeen. And I know my own WhatsApp and, you know, various chats on my phone went absolutely crazy from clubs saying that. We asked the question during the SPFL resolution to end the season. We asked the question in a video call with the executive, with Neil and others. We asked the question, are there any preconditions to reconstruction talks? And they said, no, everything's on the table. And then it seemed, you know, a couple of days later, suddenly it was emerging that it was only temporary. So I was very annoyed that to me seemed like a bit of a precondition. So I think maybe Anne's position's changing slightly on that. But the other thing that's emerging from this as well is that they're not willing to look at the financial distribution model that exists in the SPFL. And this has been a bugbear of mine for years. I've got myself into trouble within the league at times for raising this over and over again. But I think it's absolutely immoral that 83% of the money at the moment comes out of all of the money in the SPFL and goes into the Premier League. And I understand that, you know, the TV companies, they want to see, you know, Rangers and Celtic and Rangers and Motherwell are not as interested in Stenismuir Brechin. I get that. Mm-hmm. I understand. I know where we fit into it, but I don't think that means that there isn't a place for lower league teams, just like there's a place for junior football. There's a place for the Lower League and the Highland League. There's a place for everybody in Scotland. We're too small a country to think that we need to be like, you know, the way the English model of football is set, that we can have football at different levels, and it can be at smaller facilities with a guy sitting next to his dug in the stand if he wants to. That can be Scottish football, and we shouldn't be embarrassed about that being Scottish football if he wanted to. So, you know, I just think that, you know, if there are these, sort of going back to the kind of point, if the preconditions that they've brought in, if they're not willing to look at changing that financial side to it, and they think that they can take even more money, which it looks like they're probably going to do, if they're going to take 14 teams, I think they're just going to draw the line two places further down. So that's another £1 million they're taking away from the lower leagues in Scottish football. So a bit annoyed at that, but that's maybe something, again, that we've got to give way on. But if they're talking about bringing two other teams in, if it is a team from the Lower League and the Highland League, I think to say that, and the whole purpose of this is to save Hearts and Partick Thistle, but they tell us in the Championship League 1 and 2 that we're funding it, I think then they're going to hit a roadblock, because, you know, clubs will be looking after their own financial interests, and to ask the Lower League clubs to fund two new teams coming in to fix Hearts' problem, it's probably a step too far for a lot of clubs.
Yeah, I think that's probably the other key element in this side of things, especially if you've just described it there, that they're essentially going to take that top two places in the Championship prize money and just put it straight in to the Premiership without changing the financial model there. Kelty, just at the end of last week as well, put a statement out saying that their first season, if they did go up, they'd be prepared to forgo any prize money. Obviously, the argument there would be they shouldn't need to do that in terms of sporting integrity and fairness. But do you think that could influence things, say if Brora and Kelty were willing to forgo prize money for a year? Obviously, we would need to find an agreement in financial distribution elsewhere, as you've just mentioned. But is that something that will be taken into account, do you think?
I think as much as that's a good position for them to take and a good gesture to make, I wouldn't be happy with that, because I don't believe that any one of us, and I say us if they were, you know, coming into the league, I don't believe any one of us in the lower leagues should be taking cuts because of the greed that exists in the Premier League. So I wouldn't be keen on supporting Andy taking a hit like that. And I suppose the other side of it as well is, I bet if you said to Brechin, and I only pick on them because they were at the bottom obviously when the league was called, but if you asked Brechin if they were allowed to stay in the league if they forego their money, they'd say yes to that as well. They want to play at the highest level, obviously anybody does, everybody does. So I don't think that kind of argument would gain much traction. The problem is, I think, with the financial distribution is every time I've raised it, and I've raised it many, many times, they just refuse at any stage to unpick it. So even if they said, look, okay, tell you what, for this 1 year, Celtic and Aberdeen and Hearts are all willing to give, you know, £5-10 grand each, and that will fund whatever it is amount at the bottom end to let two teams in. But next year, it's back to normal, and so you're all taking the financial hit next year. Again, that's unfair on the other clubs. I think if they were willing to look at the financial distribution model and say, look, we're willing to change it a little bit, instead of taking 83%, we'll take 81%, which is still a fair shout of the money, I think. And we'll put the rest of the money into the lower leagues, which means you could bring a couple of teams in. I think clubs would then be a bit more willing to listen to them, but getting them to take that position would be very, very difficult, especially in the short time frame.
Yeah, it's interesting because I did the numbers earlier on. It would be around about £6,000 each Premiership club would lose to bring two more teams in and to get the same financial prize money, or in and kind of keeping with what League Two gets. So you'd think that's not too much of a stretch for certain clubs in the top flight.
What's that? And I get everybody's problem. You know, I get that, and I've said this before on other things, I get that when Aberdeen says, you know, they're facing £1 million hit or a £5 million hit, and we talk at Stevie Spear about having a £100,000 hit, that you think that sounds very different, but it's relative to your turnover and relative to the size of your club. So, you know, £100,000 to us is as damaging as £1 million or £5 million, whatever it is to Aberdeen. But at the same time, if you do have more cash flow, you can do more with it. And that was part of my argument when the SFA and the SPFL, announced this £4.5 million that they were investing into to Scottish football. And we got £9,000 of it. And I was saying, come on, is that really your plan to save football? If you divided that amongst the 42 clubs, you probably would have saved just about every club in League One and Two. But they didn't. They just handed it out using the usual distribution model. And the smaller clubs got hardly anything yet again. So it's always a difficult one to try and deal with that whole kind of financial aspect. But I don't think you should ever give up.
No, absolutely not. And actually, I think what we've just been through there the past, say, kind of 10, 15 minutes will be quite eye-opening to people in terms of the, not, I guess stubbornness is a word I could use, but it's just that resistance to change that we're trying to get away from at the moment, especially, well, as you say, 83% of the financial distribution is a fair whack of money, to put it mildly.
You would not believe the politics goes on in there and how difficult it is to get anything through at all. And I've referred to it in the past as a cartel. I got into trouble for that one. I'll probably get into trouble again for saying it now. But I got in trouble for that one. It was called to the headmaster's office. But the reason I said that was because they are taking all that money out of the league, and they're giving what's left. By the time it comes down to Stenismuir, it's all online. The distribution of funds from, like, the last couple of years is all there. I think it's something like 0.25% we get, or something like that, we're getting off every pound. So, you make a pound, we don't even get a penny from it yet. So it just shows you the difference. So when they're taking that kind of money, that's bad enough. But then they have the voting structure, which completely favours the Premiership. They vote by in three constituencies. So the Premiership votes first, and anything that's dealing with the big ticket items, so number of teams, the financial distribution, all these things, it has to get 90% of the Premiership clubs have to agree to it first. So that's basically 11 clubs out of the 12 have to vote for it first. And then it's 75% of the Championship clubs vote next, and then 75% of Leagues 1 and 2 together, because they don't even treat us as two separate leagues. They just band us together and just treat us as the bottom end, the two at the bottom, with one league rep as well. They don't even give us a league rep each on the board. So it's not a democratic system by any means. And I went to a number of meetings where you go along, you're waiting to put your hand up to vote, and they ask the Premiership clubs, it only gets 10 out of the 12, so they don't even bother asking the rest because the motion has fallen at the first hurdle. So you sit there like a complete patsy, having not even the chance to raise your hands to say what you think. And there have been some resolutions and votes where it was known that all League One and Two were in support, all the Championship were in support, and say 10 clubs in the Premiership were in support. So you had 40 clubs out of the 42 in support, two voted against the Premiership, and the motion falls. So there's no democracy to actually try and change these things. So I could have the support of say 40 clubs out of 42 to change the distribution model, and it won't go through if two clubs in the Premiership say no. So there's no democracy there to change these things. It's a very, very hard shift, I can assure you.
So to play devil's advocate in that scenario, being that we're doing the podcast here, on the non-league side of things, so obviously it's not just the Highland and Lowland anymore. The US and Scotland leagues came in, as well as the East and the South are there as well. The argument that gets put across quite a lot currently is that clubs in League 1 and League 2 essentially do what you've described there in terms of they close ranks, and there's a lot of self-interest involved when we talk about the development of the pyramid and getting automatic relegation into the SPFL at the bottom end, that kind of thing. Where do you see the future of the pyramid going that way? Like, do you see the movement between the SPFL and the non-leagues increasing in time, or do you think the playoff format is here to stay?
My honest opinion is I think the playoff format is probably here to stay, but I do see opportunities increasing. I think that amongst some clubs there is a desire to, enlarge the leagues. Now, if they go to the 3-4 teams, will that make a difference? I don't know. Maybe they'll think that's enough. But I pay close attention to groups like the Scottish Football Supporters Association, who run various surveys to what the supporters say through that. And there's a feeling that the format of playing each other in smaller leagues is perhaps a little bit tired, and a lot of supporters want some change to that. So I think that one obvious way to do that would be to introduce perhaps more teams from the Lowland League and Highland League teams. And I don't think the standard is very different. I think there's a hell of a lot of teams in the Lowland and Highland League that would absolutely be able to boss it in League 2 and up into League 1 straight away as well. And who knows beyond that? I think Cove in particular has been a good example. Edinburgh City, slower progress, but absolutely still great progress for them. So I believe that, I don't think there's a huge gap or a huge gulf in the standards. I think it's only going to close. So rather than my perspective is, see, rather than looking at how can we stop clubs dropping out of the SPFL, I think that's the wrong way to look at it. I think, how can we embrace the fact that there are now more clubs in Scottish football that could probably play in the SPFL now, maybe through having larger leagues? And I know my own, if it was in my gift, my own thoughts were to try and have a different structure for Scottish football altogether. I know there's been suggestions on this in the past, but something like where, you know, you play so many games and then the league splits into two. So, for example, the Premiership plays, I don't know, 20 games, and then the bottom half of the Premiership then starts to play the top half of the Championship. And then, obviously, the bottom half of the Championship plays the top half of League One, and that can continues down the line. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see something like that happening, perhaps around, you know, bigger playoff weekends, you know, where it could become more of a kind of TV spectacle as well. But it gives teams a chance of winning something twice a year, because you can be your division champion when you get to your, you know, let's say it was 26 games you played. First of all, if you win that and you're at the top, you win something for it. And if you're dividing into two, say, the winner of the bottom half still wins a trophy, wins some, a shield or something, wins something for doing that. And it happens in other leagues. And then you go into the second half of the season when you split with the league below you or the league above you, depending where you are. You're playing for a second prize that season. I just think that would create chances for people to win more things, create more excitement. The season goes right till the end, and I say you can have these big weekends. I'd have something more like that, which would actually then like create more opportunities to connect the pyramid a lot more. But getting something like that through in Scottish football, my goodness, if we can't even get, you know, 3-14s or 14-3-10s and these things through, I don't know how we're going to get something as radical as that through.
Yeah, as much as I'd love that kind of thing, as you say, I think that would be nigh on impossible with the way things are right now to persuade certain clubs.
I've never advocated it. I mean, because in this situation anyway, because it would not get off the bit of paper on somebody's desk.
But in terms of the other issue that came up this season, and it basically got diverted off because of the end of the season, the way that happened, and I know Stenhouse Muir voted to end the season in the original ballot, the SPFL ballot. Was that if Brechin were to be relegated, we found out that they would end up entering the Lowland League, despite the fact that they were north of the boundary. So, in terms of that boundary line, obviously yourselves would be a Lowland side if you were to be relegated in future. Do you think the boundary as it's set just now at the tail line is appropriate, or in your opinion, should that change?
I like the idea of regionalisation. I'm not sure how practical it actually is when it comes down to making it work. You know, if, just to again play devil's advocate for a minute, if the Lowland League became, you know, significantly stronger than the Highland League, I know some might argue that it is, but I'm not going to go there. But if it did become significantly stronger and they did, you know, beat Club 42 in the SPFL consistently, it's at some point could both leagues, the Highland League and the Lowland League, manage that the team coming out, if they were all from the Lowland League side, could they keep taking teams out? And you know, what would happen in the Highland League, or could there be an imbalance? Is what I'm trying to say at some point of how one team replaces each other. So I'm not sure if regionalisation in its most brutal sense works, but I think anything that can help in terms of, you know, travels and costs and things for any smaller club, and I say smaller clubs in both in the sense of Leagues 1 and 2 in the SPFL and in clubs in the Highland and Lowland League, anything that can help with the cost has got to be looked at and got to be seen to be a good thing. But I'm just not sure we've got the right model quite yet.
Yeah, and I guess that's what it all boils down to, doesn't it? It's this model that we're currently stuck with that we need some sort of buy-in to get a change. It is nigh on impossible just now to find that, unfortunately. But it seems to be the same story. Well, as you've mentioned earlier on, it was about 7 years ago this month now that we almost got the 12-12-18 reconstruction through, which would have done what you described there with the bottom end of the Premiership and top end of the Championship playing essentially the second half of the season together and so on.
Yeah.
At SPFL level, what do you see being the blockage in terms of, like, what would make things change? What would be the catalyst to get rid of that 11-1 scenario in the Premiership?
Yeah, it's going to take outside influence, I believe, is my own opinion. I know that when Henry McLeish did his report into Scottish football, he did the review, they all agreed to have that review of Scottish football. They all agreed to, you know, embrace what came out of it. And I think his work did do a lot of positive things. You know, it brought the SPL and the SFL together into the SPFL, which was a good first step. It changed a lot of the blazers that there were within the Scottish FA system. It changed that a little bit to make it a little bit more meaningful. I think we've got a heck of a long way to go in still modernising and changing the Scottish FA. And I'm critical at times of the SPFL, but my goodness, the Scottish FA and getting anything to change from them. I only ever hear really from the Scottish FA when we've done something wrong or there's a player registration issue, or, to be fair, their grassroots football and the way they support clubs in terms of, you know, advancing that is excellent. But anything else that's more meaningful for Scottish football development and the rest of it, I hear nothing from them. So changing that would be hard. But I think we need to then look at what outside influence can happen next. So what could we be a McLeish 2, where we look at where we are now, and building on what we got out of McLeish 1 and bringing everything together, which included the pyramid, and what is McLeish 2 to get us over the next step? Because we've still got to recognise we've had over 20 years of failure, really, in terms of the national game, and we've largely just replaced things like the academy system. We've just largely replaced it with the same thing. It's still being run through the same clubs, the regionalisation aspect, which seemed to be a great idea and did seem to work, but they were suddenly pulled back from that. So I think that they need to have, again, that outside eye coming in and really drawing up a new blueprint that can take Scottish football to its next level, where we can perhaps get away from all the self-interest. I say you'll never get away from it all, because, you know, there's always going to be clubs that, and I don't fault them for it. At any point, you're going to have to make a decision which helps your own club. It's what you're there to do. But I think at times you also have to look at the greater game and Scottish football as a whole. So hopefully an outside influence might be something that comes along in the future to be the catalyst for change.
We can but hope, absolutely. Just a final couple of things, if you don't mind.
Of course.
The first of them being, we first had an interaction through Twitter and had a wee bit of a debate on your comments where you thought it might be a good idea to essentially suspend promotion and relegation from the SPFL for the next 2 years, not including the season that's just been declared finished. Is that something that you still subscribe to?
It is. Where I was trying to get at was just recognising the impact that this virus and the shutdown is having on everybody. And it wasn't just League Two clubs. It was about everybody. I mean, I'm honestly fearful as to what clubs will still be here and in what state they will be in come the end of it. And I can foresee us coming back. I mean, already, you know, I'm talking to obviously our own manager, Davy Irons, and we're looking at next season. And he's quite rightly saying to me, well, what's the budget going to be? And when am I to start contracts when I sign new players?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know. We don't know when the season's starting. We don't know if we're going to be signing players from the 1st of July, because most contracts expire in June. Don't know what the budget is going to be, because we don't know the financial position will be in come the end of it. So there's still so many unknowns that I think when we come out of this, clubs at our level, at Highland League, Lowland League level, I think a lot of clubs will be in, you know, a financial predicament. And the last thing I think clubs would want to do, but they will do, is they'll overspend to have that push again. You know, I heard, I think it was Barry Ferguson talking about the money that that Celtic have thrown at it, which everybody can see, everybody knows about. And, you know, have they got the money to throw at it again next season? Maybe not, maybe they do. And if they do, then you wouldn't want any kind of, recovery period. You'd want to go at it again. But if you haven't got that money, then is a year out or 2 years out the right thing to build your bank balance again and have a go at it? And the kind of analogy that I'll give, which I've stolen because I mentioned to somebody else and they threw this analogy into it, which I thought was really good. It's a bit like Formula One. When, you know, something happens on the track, a big issue happens and the safety car comes out and all the cars circle behind the safety car, just keeping pace. And that's kind of what we're advocating, is that football clubs kind of circle that safety car for a bit, and then once everything is fixed on track, safety car pulls in and it's back to hard line racing. And that's what hopefully football would do. We'd just perhaps circle the wagons for a bit, get ourselves back in order and go at it again. I take the point that I think it could have been yourself that made, actually, about what are you playing for in those intervening seasons, really, because you're playing to try and get yourself promoted. So what is the purpose of coming out? What's your purpose for your fans coming out? And that's definitely a point to consider and a point to think about. But one thing is for certain. It's not something that we in the SPFL could just impose. It's that's just not allowed.
Uh-huh.
So I was putting it out there as something that I thought personally could help clubs at the different levels. We could agree potentially a time frame that suited clubs at the different levels, if they wanted to, and then we could go forward with that kind of unified approach to it, so we all know where we are and when we're coming back at it full pelt. But if clubs don't want to do it, they don't see the merit, and it would rather just go back at it, then I'm not going to criticise anybody for it. If they feel they'll be in a good place to do it, so be it. That's the last that will be heard of if the clubs at all levels don't want to see it coming forward. But I think it'd be a good thing for us just to be able to say reset a bit before we go at it again.
Yeah, I suspect from the reaction that we've had, especially from, you mentioned Barry's interview from Kelty there, Robbie Horns,
yeah,
another one from Bonnie Rigrose that's been quite vocal on it.
Mm-hmm.
The level of ambition's got to the point now in the Lowland League where I don't think that'll be a possibility at all, to be honest with you. But obviously it's different mentalities and different ways of looking at things.
I think as well, I understand that there's a degree of suspicion that with the teams in the Low and the High League perhaps look at the SPFL at times. I understand that. And I think when somebody says something like that, it's viewed as, and I saw a lot of the tweets that I got back in, you know, so you're wanting to end the pyramid, you know, you're running scared, you just want to stop the pyramid. And it's not what it was about. So I understand there's a degree of suspicion when you raise these things. What's their ulterior motive here? Would they introduce this for 2 years, then suddenly it become 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, never come back again? So I understand the degree of suspicion there might be there, but it was just genuinely an option if folk wanted to think about it, and clubs can think about it, and if it's not of interest to them, so be it.
And then just to end things on a positive note, one thing that would be doing any time we've had a chat with people from clubs is reflecting on the good work you're doing through this pandemic at the moment. And this is another thing that came from your Scotsman column, the fact that Stenhouse Muir, not just the community help initiative you guys are doing, but also things like helping deliver school meals in the local area. So can you tell us a wee bit about what the club's been doing in the meantime?
Of course, yeah. I'm happy to... we started really early, actually. It was that Friday that we got the note through from the Scottish FA that they were suspending football. We had a chat even that evening, a couple of us, and thought, this is only going to go in one direction here. What can we do to get ourselves set up? Because we've got a community out there that are scared. And I know that even from my own parents who are in their 70s, who are very concerned about it, and rightly so. So we thought, what can we do? So on the Saturday, we set up a helpline number, and we got some leaflets printed up that day. We had people for volunteers, and we got a dozen, 20 volunteers in straight away, and we were out doing a leaflet drop saying, look, you might not want to go out right now, because the lockdown hadn't really started by this point. It was just sort of saying to the most vulnerable, if you're concerned and you just choose not to go out, we'll do your shopping for you, we'll go pick up your prescriptions, we'll walk your dog or whatever you need done for it, we'll step in and do that. So very quickly we got a bit of momentum behind it, we got a lot of volunteers signed up, and then just through time we've added to it. So at the moment we're at the point now where we've got about 130 volunteers who are out there most days doing people shopping and the prescriptions and things like that. And there's another one today, somebody's come on looking for another dog to be walked somewhere else as well. So we've got that on the go. We also thought, well, there's health workers and people that work at the local hospital just literally a mile or two from the club grounds at Forth Valley Hospital, who can't get to the shops, you know, queuing outside for about the half hour you've got to queue for these days. They can't get there because of their shift pattern. So we offered to them that we do shopping for NHS workers as well. We could meet them by their car and hand it in to them. And then the school meals, of course, were ongoing. And we are already in lots of the schools with our community programme. We kind of serve 27 local schools that Stenismuir coaches are in on a weekly basis, doing sort of preschool classes, nursery school classes, after school clubs, PE taster sessions. We do all these schools doing that, as well as working with Larbert High on their school of football programme. So through that, we found out that there was a lot of people out there who were entitled to free school meals, but were all self-isolating at home, so nobody from the house could leave to go and get them. So we got in touch with a couple of the schools and got that going. And then before we knew it, we were 180 school meals that we were delivering every day from our own van, plus local business car and bathrooms came on board with two extra vans. So we got that going. Then we had the idea of getting the chef that does our hospitality in to work from our kitchen, so he's still socially isolating. Got him to start preparing some hot meals for the folk that are on our list as well. So we're doing two hot meals to them every week and getting that delivered out to them as well. So we've just kept going, trying to do as much as we can for the local community. And it's been great. I mean, the messages we've had back have been, you know, really quite heartwarming at times. Had somebody from Wales get in touch, somebody from Stoke, somebody from one of the islands up north get in touch to say they can't come down to their elderly parents, but we've provided the lifeline for them to get their shopping. And I had a lady on the phone in tears to me, which was quite emotional as well. So it's good when you can do something like that for a community. We've always been a community club, but we've ran community programmes and done stuff for our mental health team and things like that. We've always done lots of things, but this was a real time to sort of step up and show that it goes beyond football. So I appreciate you giving me the chance to talk about it, because we're quite proud of the way that people have stepped up. Particularly, a lot of the volunteers have had no connection to the club whatsoever. I've just got in touch to help. So it's been great to see the club back at the centre of the community again. Hopefully when this is all over, and it will be all over at some point, hopefully we've got the basis that we're going to build a kind of new charitable wing as well of the club, so we can keep a lot of these things going.
Brilliant. I mean, yeah, I think it is important, and it's why we're trying to do this when we speak to anyone from clubs, that we don't just focus on the negatives and the challenges, that we do give credit where it's due. And obviously you guys are doing some brilliant work in the community there. Fingers crossed it will result in positive things once it is all said and done. And we can get some of these clubs, because let's be honest, the clubs in League 2 aren't very much different from clubs we talk about week in, week out in the Lowland, the Island. We're all local community clubs at the end of the day. And
absolutely.
it's it's almost given these clubs a chance to reset themselves as just integral to their local communities. Fingers crossed that we'll have that result and bring people back out again to raise the crowds and go from there.
I think you're right. In that sense, I think there's probably more affinity between the clubs in League One and Two with, you know, teams in the lower and the higher league than there is with perhaps some of the clubs in the Premiership who have a whole different approach to things. We are very much a community club. We like being a community club. We like being part of the community. I like to be able to, you know, go into a wee bar, come whether we've won or lost, and still be able to sit and have a drink with the supporters, because we're all fans together and we enjoy the good times and we hurt together in the bad times. And I think that only happens at the clubs at our size and our level. I don't think it happens in the big clubs. The directors go home before they get their car windows panned in. But we're not like that in the lower leagues. I think the smaller community clubs in Leagues 1, 2 and High and Low League, I think have got a different outlook, and long may it continue.
Absolutely. So on that nice positive note, I'll say thank you very much for your time again. I really appreciate it. And obviously, you're more than welcome to come back on at some point in the future.
I'd be delighted to. Thanks for having me on.